I think I'm going to do women. That didn't sound good. Other what?
Are there any fighters you would like to see move into this middleweight class?
I don't know. I think that I don't ever try to get anybody to move anywhere. They have to figure that out on their own. You know, the whole weight thing is very tricky, you know. And no matter, a lot of people talk about the weight issues. Weight will always be an issue no matter how many weight classes we add or whatever. People are always trying to get an advantage. People are always trying to be bigger and cut down. It's always going to be an issue. It's one of the many things we battle here. So I don't really get involved in that. Wherever you feel comfortable, stay there.
This does help address the issue, though, and offers another option.
What's that?
This does help the issue, though, and offers another option.
It does. It does.
Did you ever figure out what the hell Paige VanZant was tweeting about when she said she got a title shot?
I don't know.
Have you talked to her?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really talk to her. I talked to her and Uriah on the phone one day, but, you know, it's... I think she was joking or throwing it out there or something like that.
She said, my next fight will be for the title. It wasn't like, I hope my next fight will be for the title.
Yeah. Hey, positive thinking.
Speaking of Paige, what's going on with her and Jessica Ai? They seem to be having some kind of a... Jessica Ai said that Paige didn't want to fight her, and then Paige called you, and then...
Paige didn't call me. Uriah called me.
Okay.
Uriah Faber called me and said, you know, it's just the typical, you know, Jessica Ai isn't as highly ranked as we would like, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Okay. So, yeah, Jessica was very upset.
Back in 2011, in passing to TMZ, you had said something like, women will never be in the UFC. Mm-hmm. Here you are adding yet another weight class. What was it initially that you opposed, and how dramatically has that changed?
Well, I saw some fights with very lopsided female fights. And you know, I always believe... You have to remember, at the time that I said this too, we were still trying to get people to accept the men fighting. So I always believed that if you had a fight, number one, I didn't believe the women were technically that good yet, and I was wrong. Number two, I believed that people wouldn't want to see a girl getting cut wide open on the forehead and blood go, you know how much the head bleeds when you cut it, and blood all over the place on national television. I was wrong again. So I ended up making the right choice.
Was there a specific fight that you saw that made you turn your...
Oh, yeah. I saw a fight. I think it was called the IFC back in the day up in Northern California. And a really badass girl fought a girl that looked like she took, like, 6 Thai boat classes. And it was one of the worst beatings I've ever seen. And I was like, there's no way.
That was a Randy Couture chick?
Yes, yeah. She fought like Randy Couture and looked like Randy Couture. Yeah, and the other girl was this cute little, you know, she looked like she led some Taibo class somewhere, and she got destroyed.
But what female fight, did you see a female fight that made you change your mind over to
no, the... Ronda Rousey changed my mind.
Ow.
Yeah, she sat me down and walked me through why this makes sense, and how she'll be this dominant champion, and, you know, we talked for like 45 minutes, 20 minutes into it, I said, shit, I think I'm going to do this. Then I called Lorenzo when I left, and I said, you're not going to believe this one. I think I'm going to do women. That didn't sound good. I think I'm going to start women's fighting, is what I said. And he said, I don't believe it. What made you change your mind? I said, I believe this girl can be the next big thing.
So Rhonda called you and said, I have a meeting?
No, she grabbed me. She was at an event backstage, you know, the weigh-ins. She said, hi, I'm Rhonda Rousey, and I'd like, you know, to talk to you for 5 minutes. Can I have 5 minutes of your time? I said, yeah. We went back and talked, and she sold me.
In the history of the UFC, where does that decision rank among all the others?
It's a big one. It was the right decision. You know, if you look at not only how big she became, but now how big the women's sport is. We just added another weight division, and, you know, women are going to headline, you know, the end of the year event. And every time there's a card, there's a women's fight on the card you're excited about. So this whole Ultimate Fighter was women. The list goes on and on.
Can you, speaking of women on the card, the show in Detroit, you have a really good women's fight with Watterson and Torres, right, which they were supposed to fight a long time ago. That seems like a fight that, even though you got Ngannou on the show with Overeem, and that could steal the show with the kind of striking what they have.
It's true. It's incredible. I mean, if from all the people that are in this room that covered boxing, and you think about even when women's boxing started to get some, you know, some print and some notoriety, it really wasn't, when you watch the fights, they weren't really great fights at the end of the day. These fights are great fights. These women are legit, talented, well-rounded, and the fights are fun and exciting. You know, what used to make female boxing fights remote, even fun at all, was that the fact that they had no defense. So they just stand there and, you know, punch the shit out of each other for, you know, however many rounds. But these girls are technical and very, very talented.
You said women are going to headline 219, so I think it had been reported that you guys were looking at maybe another fight or two on there, but is that what you're settling with as the main event? I hate to say settle, like, I mean, it's a great fight, but...
Yeah, I think so.
So still trying to maybe add something
yeah,
to it?
Yeah, I mean, we're still working on the card. Okay. Yeah, the card's still being built, so...
I want to ask Rhonda, do you still stay in touch with her much?
Yeah, still talk to Rhonda. Yeah.
How's she doing outside
of the sport? She's good. She's happy, man. She's happy doing her thing. So you look at Ronda Rousey, you know, where she is now in her life, you know, she accomplished everything she ever wanted to accomplish. And now she wants to have a life, like a personal life, and you know, enjoy all the hard work she's put in. She's been working since she was a kid, you know, at becoming an Olympic medalist and then becoming a world champion. So she's achieved everything she wanted to do. She's made a shitload of money, and now she wants to actually have a life.
Do you think she realizes her place in history? I mean, what she means? I mean, you said it single-handedly. If it wasn't for her, none of this would have started.
I think at one point she did. I think because of how it all ended, she might not, you know, but it's. I mean, we wouldn't even be talking about this. I know what my position was at that time, and I think because we ended up making that decision, you know, you look at how many more women are involved in mixed martial arts now, and just our roster alone with how many women we have, it's huge. So yeah, she made it happen. It wouldn't happen without her.
What about the 45-pounder women though? What are you going to do about? I mean, this is
woman,
right? You know,
45-pound woman.
You got a champion.
Yeah, I need to work on that. I'm working on that. Yeah.
Hey, just to wrap up with Rhonda, you feel good that her fighting days are done? I mean, could she ever come back for one more?
I wouldn't want to see it. I don't want it to happen. I care about her, and she's got enough money. She's got enough money and all that stuff. I don't want to see it happen. It's like Chuck Liddell. I was hearing that Chuck was talking about fighting again. I hope that's not true.
Does Rhonda mention that itch to you at all? Like, kind of thinking? Or
no. She's super happy. She's traveling. She's hanging out. She's doing her thing, you know? Imagine never having a personal life, and then you get one.
And then you go into wrestling, and it's really private.
Yeah.
She's
not. She has not retired. She's still on the USADA, still popping up at her house testing her, and she refuses to retire. So,
Dana, you talked about IFC. You told the story, and then how Rhonda convinced you years later. How about Cyborg and Carano at the time when they were fighting? Not the fight itself, but just the successes they were having. What did you think of women's MMA at that time?
I didn't think of it at all. Literally was not even on my radar.
But were you impressed with their skill sets, even though they were just...
Was never even interested in it. Obviously, you know... I did see that fight, though. I did see that fight. I thought Carano did very well in that fight, actually.
It wasn't the blowout a lot of people say it is now. I mean, she was in the fight right till the end of the first round.
Absolutely. I thought Carano did a really good job in that fight. Especially if you look at all Cyborg's fights since then.
Right.
That'll tell you how well Gina did in that fight.
If Rhonda doesn't pull you aside, what other female do you think may have been able to convince you now that you've gotten...
Nobody. Out? I just don't believe that it would have happened. Yeah, I don't think it would have happened. You know, Ronda has this thing. I believe it's one of the reasons that she became such a huge star. She's got this thing about her. She got the job done.
Dana, why don't you think she retires? I mean, you saw that showing up at 6 a.m. is no fun for anybody, yeah. So why?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Give me a guess.
She's not ready to say I quit. She's not ready to say I'm done for whatever reason. You know, she doesn't tick like everybody else ticks. We found that out, you know, throughout the years. So whatever reason she has for not retiring, I agree. You know, she's got this awesome personal life. She's super happy. And, you know, why put up with that aggravation anymore? Just announce it and the USADA stuff stops.
But she isn't she like other people in the sense that she loses to Holly and her confidence was blown. That was a very non-confident Ronda Rousey that fought Amanda. And while Amanda may be the better fighter, she's certainly not probably that much of a better fighter. So Ronda was like everybody else in a way in the fact that, hey, she got beat and all of a sudden her confidence was gone, wasn't it?
What's it remind you of?
Tyson.
Tyson. I always used to compare her to Tyson, and it's totally like Tyson. I agree. Yeah.
Have you, you know, since you're close with him, have you ever kind of probed that with him and ask him, like, hey, what happens when you lose that aura that is there? Did he ever talk about it?
No. No, I've never asked him that. I've asked him a lot of shit. I've never asked him that.
It'd be interesting to hear what he says.
Yeah. Everything is interesting to hear what he says. I just, talking to that guy is incredible.
Sidebar, I've wanted to spy with home for so long, and now these fights happening. Do you think home would be like the biggest challenge to her, like to date?
Definitely, I think stylistically, that's a really good fight for both of those women. I think that you know, if you look at how aggressive Cyborg is, and what a great counterpuncher Holly is, you know, it's a good fight, and Holly is a big 135 pounder, man. She's tall, broad shoulders, big legs. She's a big, strong girl. Yeah, it's a fun fight.
What'd it take?
I've wanted this fight for a long time.
Let's say, what did it take to finally get it together? I mean, it sounded like it was drifting apart.
Yeah, I don't even want to go there. I know you guys want me to go there, but I don't even want to go there, man. It's just not worth it.
It's not fun if you don't go.
I know. This is why I've been hiding from you guys lately. I'm just. I don't want to get into all this shit, you know. It's just, you know, I got the fight done. It's done.
Is it the Holly worst management decision ever, or is it Cyborg being nuts?
Yeah.
Or a little of both.
Yeah. You guys don't even have to ask me questions. You know,
just in general, are deals getting hard? Are they harder to come by these days?
No. This is one of the most unique businesses in the world. I would literally just hung up the phone with Ari before I walked in here with you guys. He was talking to me about, you know, this is the best year the company's ever had in the company's history. So he's fucking off the charts, you know, so pumped. And we're actually coming in over the number that they had budgeted, right? So he's all pumped up and he's like, I can't fucking wrap my brain around. If you look at the beginning of this year and how it started and how I said, Ari, this is what I tell you guys all the time. I mean, this is the stuff that drove Joe Silva crazy, and literally Joe Silva went crazy and, you know, didn't want to do this shit anymore. It just, when I know this sounds super insensitive and I don't want it to come off this way, but it's the fact. When human beings are your product, you know what I mean? You never know what the hell's going to happen. It's always crazy, but every day it goes like this from day to day. Forget about injuries and popping on drug tests or just fucking going crazy or not wanting to fight this guy or that guy or this girl or that girl and all the different crazy shit that gets thrown at us every day. You just have to ride the fucking waves, man. And we sit in a room for hours. I have it right after you guys. We will sit in that fucking room over there and stare at the walls for hours and figuring out what goes where and who does what and who's going to fight this guy and who's going to fight that girl. And it's just, I've been doing this for so long, it just doesn't faze me anymore. Just keep rolling with it and, you know, I know it's all going to work out. And it did. We ended up having a killer year.
So speaking of things that don't faze you, do you know anything about what happened with Conor or allegedly happened in Ireland with hitting a mob guy?
No, but I don't think it's true, because no. If it was true, it would be big. Connor can friggin', you know, Connor can walk down the street and it's big news now. Mm. You know, if Connor, if this was true, I just have to believe it would be off the charts crazy.
Did you call him or call Audie or anybody at all to find out about that?
If it's true, we'll end up finding out. I can't chase all these things around. If they're true, we'll get it figured out and we'll go from there.
Does it concern you, though? You know, you had a history with Wise Guys back in Boston. Yeah. The fact that allegedly one of the guys he had was in the mob. If that's true, that's probably not a very good thing for Connor, right? And
Can't be. It can't be a good thing for Connor.
Well, can you?
But you never know. I don't know how that stuff works among. You know, I didn't know any of those guys or any of that stuff. But I'm sure it can be worked out too. You know, Jake LaMotta's brother beat the shit out of a Wise Guy too, and they figured it out.
I was gonna say, I mean, the one we don't know about that one yet. The one we do know about, we haven't heard you guys talk about or offer comment on, was the issue in Bellator where he jumped the cage, push the referee, slap the employee, the Bellator employee that's trying to get him off the cage. I mean, can you give us an update on just kind of where his head is, where you guys stand? I mean, is he going to face any punishment for that? Because, I mean, it seemed like pretty inexcusable behavior.
Listen, the punishment, you know, he was being dealt with by the head of the ABC. And we were going to fight him, regardless of what Audie says. We were working on a fight for him at the end of the year, and he's just not ready. We're still in that. Connor might never fight again. Guy's got a fucking $100 million. You know, I got guys that made less than that and fucking were lawyers and went to school their whole life and quit working. Right? When you go to school your whole life to be a lawyer and you're a good lawyer, you make a few bucks and you're done. Guy sitting home every day watching fucking cartoons or whatever he's doing. I don't know. You know, Joe Silva doesn't work anymore. You know, these guys make money and that's it. Fighting's the worst. Try to get up and get punched in the face every day when you got $100 million in the bank. You know, money changes everything with a lot of people. So, we'll see.
When you talk with him, what's the sense that you get with Connor?
Every time you talk to Connor, you don't know. Who knows, you know? He's a very unique individual. I love the kid, man. I think he's fun. He's definitely, you know, when we talk about guys, if you look at all the money Connor's made, there's guys who always bitch about money and I should have more money. Connor can't be paid enough money. Connor's worth every penny and more, you know? And the other thing with the Bellator thing, he's a young, rich kid who is a god in Ireland, you know. That's not the healthiest environment either. It's all part of, I mean, I don't know if you guys remember in the very beginning with John Jones, you know, there's no doubt the talent was there. I used to go, the guy's talented, but he's young and he's rich and he's the king of the world right now. Hopefully he can keep it together. And that was way before any of the crazy shit started happening. And there it is. It happens.
So, and
what's weird is it happens more in this sport, in fighting, in the fighting business, than it does in any other sport.
You said, he won in what, the title 129, John, right?
Yeah.
So you said at 129.
I remember specifically, you said, now we'll find out.
And you used the phrase Klingons with him at that press conference. I remember you saying that.
Klingons are the ones that drag you down.
And so the question with Connor is, it doesn't seem to be Klingons so much as Connor himself. That's
Connor's got
stuff.
A lot too. I mean, when he travels, he's got friggin' people for days with him, you know. And when you make that kind of money, you're that famous, and you're a professional athlete, you're gonna have an overload of Klingons. And yeah.
Let's say he never fights again. Do you, in retrospect, say we messed up making that Mayweather fight?
Mm-mm. No. I mean, the kid made a lot of money. That's what we're all here for. We cut through all the bullshit and all. We're all here to make money. They're sitting in this room right now to make money. That's why we're all here. And we had an opportunity for him to go in and make more money than he's ever made in his life. I wouldn't change a thing. I knew going into that fight, because of that fight, he might never fight again.
Yeah. When we wrote it, you ripped us for that.
What do I rip you for?
He's absolutely fighting again.
I said, Whoa. I never said he's absolutely fighting again. Even before the fight, I said, this could be the end of him. Who knows? He might never fight again after this. He's absolutely fighting. I never said that. I said, listen, he's telling me, all I can go off is what he says to me. He's telling me that he's absolutely going to fight again. That doesn't mean he's going to.
Right. No, I agree. Right. I mean, I agree with what you said.
Right.
But did he express, so you were trying to do a fight at the end of the year for him. Was he expressing desire for that?
Yeah.
He was.
Honestly, with no bullshit, this kid's always been down. If you know, we need him to jump in and he has to fight, he's always will jump up, fight anybody, anywhere. He's that kind of guy. He really is. Listen, for me to have so much respect for a guy like Connor, it's because he's the absolute total package.
Right.
This kid will literally fight anybody. You know, he's actually not that hard to deal with, to be honest with you. If he could show up on fucking time, he'd be perfect. You know what I mean? Other than that, the kid would be perfect. You know, is he cocky? He deserves to be cocky. The kid's incredible. That's, being cocky is part of this business. If you're not cocky, you're probably in the wrong business. You know, you have to believe in yourself the way that this guy believes in himself. I love all of that stuff. He's hilarious. He's got, like, comedic timing. You know, he's fun. He's fun to watch fight. The whole deal. And, you know, I wouldn't feel that way about him if he really wasn't that type of kid. But he really is. He's really not that hard to deal with.
When do you have to start making a decision on his title, though? You know, you got Ferguson saying defend or vacate. And you're saying, you know,
Ferguson has no business to talk about anything. So, listen, we ain't taking any direction from Ferguson, okay? Yeah.
But is it, I mean, do you have to start thinking about, oh, he's got to get in there and defend this belt, or we got to pull it off of him?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, you have to want him to fight again, don't you? I mean,
of course.
You have that conversation with him and try to encourage him and say, come on, Connor, let's go.
Do you know how many people, including Ioli and all kinds of other people over the last, you know, however many years have been telling me, George St. Pierre is your biggest star. Don't tell me you don't want George St. Pierre to fight again.
I said Ronda was the biggest star.
Well, I'm just saying, whoever it was, I'm throwing GSP out there. So, you know, everybody always says to me, you have to want this guy to fight. You got to want this guy to fight. I don't want anybody to fight unless they want to fight. This isn't a business where you can just make people fight. You either want it or you don't, you know, and that was my big thing. With GSP, he wasn't acting like a guy who really wants it. At the end of the day, I'm going to run this business with or without anybody. You know, it's just, it's, if Connor wants to fight again, absolutely we want Connor to come fight. But if Connor walks away and doesn't ever want to fight again, it's part of the game.
At what point do you say defend or vacate the belt?
Well, we need to figure that. It's right now, it's not with him, it's not about defend or vacate. We're working on a new deal right now with him.
And word is it could be March, it could be April, or
yeah, close to we got to work out this new deal. Yeah.
Did you get points?
Huh?
Did you get points?
Did Jordan get points?
No.
Hey, just to follow up on Connor though. You know, when you said that he's your friend, like, and I think, you know, Connor and Ronda are different maybe than, say, Jones was when Jones was on top, right? Where you had a different relationship with them. So just because of the personal relationship you have with him, don't you feel obligated, or in some way, don't you want to call him and say, dude, what the fuck's up? And, like, you know, you're getting yourself the Klingons and whatever, the speech you made to John Jones in public.
You can't.
To make to him in private?
You can't.
No?
You can't. I've learned over the years you can't have these conversations with them. They're all grown men and women, you know? To be honest with you, the only one who's really ever listened to me in fucking all these years is Chuck and Ronda. And those are really the only two that would actually listen to what I said. Ronda was going to get a sleeve. I said, no, you're fucking not.
Get a what?
Sleeve. Tattoos all the way up to her fucking neck. I'm like, no, you're not. You're not getting a sleeve. Listen, tattoo yourself up as much as you want when you retire. Do not get a sleeve. And she listened to me. I told Connor, stop doing it, and he goes, you're fucking old. That's why you don't like him. I said, you think a fucking screaming gorilla on your chest looks good? He says, you're too old. You don't get it. I said, maybe you're right.
You were good on that tattoo thing. You got more than we thought you did.
Yeah.
When are you getting a tattoo?
Never.
You know,
think about this. Everybody in this room right now, what do you love so much, other than, like, your kids, right? That you would tattoo on your body. What the fuck would you tattoo on? I'll buy a t-shirt in every color and I'll wear it every day for 30 days. I guarantee you, you get tired of it. You know what I mean? Imagine if back in the 80s I got a tattoo. What the fuck would I have on me right now? Right? Shit that I'm definitely not into right now. I can promise you that.
That Patriots logo.
I'd have right the Culture there. Club logo on my fucking back or something, right? Hell no.
You know, you spoke about people mentally getting out. You know, Tyson lost the edge. Ronda. What about you? How long are you going to keep the edge? No, really. I mean, how long have you been the lead dog for so long now? Do you ever get to the point where you think, maybe I'm gonna walk away?
Never. I never think like that. Ari was just, I told you, I just talked to Ari before I walked in here, and he's just talking to me about a 10-year plan. At the beginning, I'll give you a little bit on this. The beginning of this year, everybody who's anybody in the boxing business is coming out here to meet with me. Beginning of this year, except for De La Cuckoo and fucking and Bob Arum. You know, I'm going to sit down with everybody, you know, talk and see what everybody's got going on and what everybody's thinking, and then I'm going to start goofing around over there a little bit. I'm not going anywhere. I love this shit. I love it. And, yeah, I'm only 48 years old. What the hell am I going to do?
Dana, don't you kind of need De La Cuckoo and Arum to kind of make those fights
hell
you
no.
would like to see?
Hell no. I don't need them.
I mean, to work together?
No. No? Can't work with them. De La Hoya hates Arum, and Arum hates De La Hoya and all this shit. They're exactly alike. Both of those guys are carbon copies of each other. So, no. I used to like Oscar. Oscar's... How about that Conor versus Mayweather was the biggest disgrace ever to the sport of boxing. But him versus Conor isn't.
And before right? the fight, Canelo, he was bringing up.
Yeah, exactly.
What were the final pay-per-view numbers for Mayweather McGregor?
Very good. Very good.
Do you have a rough outline of how this football boxing will work? I mean, are you going to start finding fighters and have a roster of people that you're working with? Or
I'm going to sit down and I don't, right now, I have two different plans. I have a plan A and a plan B. And I'm not sure which one I'm going to go with, but I'm going to sit down and I'm going to talk to everybody in the industry. They all want to come out here. They all want to talk. Fighters want to come out here and talk. So many people are going to, so I'm going to take like a month. Beginning of the year, and I'm just going to take a month and focus on this thing and figure out what we're going
to
do.
Will there be an opportunity for UFC athletes to maybe participate in boxing bouts as well?
No, I'm not thinking about that. I'm not saying it could never happen, but that's not what I'm looking to do.
Not
looking
to
boxing, UFC. No, not Conor either.
What kind of feeling do you get from these players in the boxing community? Are they
they're excited?
Scared?
No, they're excited. The way they're acting with me, you never know how they're really feeling, but they're acting very excited, and they want to come out and talk, and they want to be a part of this.
DiBella's called me 10 times asking about you.
Who?
DiBella.
Yeah, he's one of the guys I'm going to meet with. Yeah.
Why now? What sparked it?
Because I'm bored and I don't have anything to do. I think that right now is the right time. I think I just feel it. I feel like it's the right time to give it a shot. Listen, can I do it? I don't know. Will it work? I don't know. But I think I have a pretty good idea of how to make it work, and I'll give it a shot.
So will this be under the WMEIMG umbrella?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or Zuffa, because you had the Zuffa boxing shirt you were wearing.
Yeah, it's gonna. But Zuffa is under WMEIMG. Okay. Yeah.
Dana, here the gist. I know you're thinking of plans, so, but in boxing, you know, where there's so many established promoters that have people under contract. When you bought, you know, the UFC, you bought 70% of the top fighters in the world. So how do you over...
No, that's not true. I mean, when we bought the UFC, we had like...
But you bought... Pride had a certain number of the best fighters, and you had the rest.
We had like 23 or 25 contracts.
But you had the best... Like,
that was it.
You take all the stars, Tito and Chuck, and those people were the stars, right? And what I'm saying is you're going to go into this now with... You know, the stars that, but such as they are.
Back then, there really weren't big stars. Yeah. I mean, and in boxing right now, I mean, in boxing, who are the big, big stars that are just huge stars? Most people don't even know half of these guys, you know? And there's guys out there fighting for $10,000 for title fights and stuff like that. You know, when people talk, when, you know, reporters or people talk about, oh, boxing and the money and the this. You're talking about a handful of guys. And then there's a whole roster full of guys who make nothing. And none of them are stars. You know, you go to a boxing match, it's exactly the same. You know, it's empty until the main event starts. I even did it. The event that we did, I didn't even watch one of those fights. I went out there for Mayweather-McGregor, and I watched the fight. I didn't even see any of the other fights.
Did you see anything? So when you work with them, they did things different than you. Some things were good, some things were bad. Like, was there anything that you saw that they did that was good that you have tried to incorporate or that you think you could incorporate?
No. I'll change everything.
How deep would your cards be?
Deep, like UFC cards. When you think about going this Saturday, right, the fights, I mean, there's fights all the way down on the fight pass prelims that you want to see. You never get that in boxing, you know? And that's what I want to do. But you can't, it's not like you can go out and start right off the jump and make things, but you got to start small and work your way up and start to build stars. And, you know, I think we do a really good job at it, and I think we could do it in boxing too. You know, this younger generation is never going to be into boxing. They're never going to. What's crazy is I came from boxing, and my two sons that were at the event didn't understand what was going on. I had to keep explaining to them what was going on because they have no idea.
But have you seen
Why does the ref keep breaking them up when they're on the ropes?
Brett would probably know this, but the ratings on ESPN on Top Ranks Boxing Series getting tremendous numbers at 18 and 34. Tremendous numbers.
Right.
In fact, they went head-to-head with UFC card, I think, twice, and they had more 18 and 34 than you did. Now, I know they're on ESPN compared to Fox Sports 1, but still, yeah. I mean, they're doing well.
It's a big difference.
Isn't that surprising, though? You know, and I mean, when you say that nobody knows what it is. They're getting 18 to 34s on that network, and that wasn't happening until they went to ESPN.
Right. Yeah. Hey, I hope you're right.
Amazing.
We'll see if they can sustain it, because the same thing happened with PBC. They were pulling big numbers out the gate, too.
Big numbers, but their PBC, if I'm not mistaken, the audience was P55, yeah. Right?
No, it's
and
true.
And Top Rank's audience is 18 to 34.
Well, I think it depended on what network they were on, what numbers they were doing. Because obviously Spike pulls a younger demographic than CBS does.
Well, I remember their first show was on NBC, and they got that huge number on PBC, but it was like 60% or more was P55. And, yeah. But now you're seeing...
But how would that make sense that Top Rank would pull more?
I don't know.
ESPN? Like, that's it. That's the difference.
Right, and so I guess...
The difference is ESPN.
And so the question
more 18 to 34-year-olds are watching ESPN than are watching NBC or CBS.
Agreed. And so I guess my question to you, Dana, is that shows that at least if they can find it and they know where it is, that they'll watch it.
Right.
So does that change, or did that have any impact on your decision to get into it when you saw that?
No, I haven't even thought about that stuff. You know, I'm not even looking at what they're doing or thinking about what they're doing. Listen, I'm not shitting on these guys. Maybe I am, but I'm not going out and looking at what fucking Todd DeBuff and Bob Arum are doing to try to emulate those guys. If anything, they're fucking copying shit that we do, you know? So I'm not going out trying to copy what they're doing.
And speaking about television network stuff, are you able to give us any kind of progress update on how things are looking for your guys' new deal? It seems like everything we read in the headlines from the SBJs and the Revels of the world is that it's not good.
We're dead.
Things aren't good with
negotiations. We're done. We're dead. I've been hearing that for 15 years. Pay-per-view's over. The TV deal isn't good. The this and that. We'll see. Keep doubting us.
Yeah.
I heard that the business was tanking when we sold for $4.025 billion that we were tanking. What's your question?
Back to boxing. Would you be like a frequent promoter, or would they just be like big shows that are quarterly? And by the way, what do you think of the one in London? I'm kind of thinking that something maybe that you'd like to do, something extravagant like Joshua.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I think that's the guy. I mean, Joshua's the guy. He's a good looking, looks like a heavyweight, fights like a fucking guy you want to watch on TV. You know, I would love to do something with those guys. Yeah. So, yeah, he's in my opinion right now, he's the most marketable guy in boxing. He's the man, and he's the heavyweight champion of the world. You know, definitely.
Dana, hindsight is 2020, of course, but any regrets about having Bisping fight on that quick turnaround? in Shanghai after losing GSP? Any regrets?
Ask me that question again. What
any regrets about having Bisbing had that quick turnaround fight in Shanghai?
No, he wanted it. Bisbing wanted that fight, and you know, again, the guy is another stud that always wants to fight and will fight anybody. And yeah, he called me and said, "I want this fight."
Have you talked to him since?
I haven't talked to him since.
Do you think he still wants to fight on the London card in March?
I don't know. The guy just fought twice within 3 weeks. I'm gonna let the guy have some time off and let him enjoy his family and all the money he made, and then we'll talk again.
He calls you and says he wants that fight on a 3 week turnaround. What is the process in terms of, because he was under a medical suspension in New York.
Everybody's under a medical suspension after their fights. So what happened was he called me and said, I want the fight. And I said, well, how are you feeling? He says, I feel great. I'm ready to go and whatever. I said, all right, let me look into it. And I told him, you're going to have to go through all the medical testing again. And you know him. Fuck that, I just did it over and da da da. I said, I don't give a shit. We're going to go through the medical testing again, and the doctors are going to tell us whether you're okay or you're not okay. So then once it came back that the doctors had cleared him to fight again, we sent the stuff to New York and showed them, and New York let him off the suspension.
Did he do that here or California?
I don't know. I don't know where he did it. Probably California.
Do you think the quick turnaround affected his performance yesterday?
Guys, back in the old days, guys used to fight like every week. Back in the old days, man. You know what I mean? There's guys that would fight on Saturday and then fight again next Saturday in another town. You know, not saying that that's the best thing in the world for you, but it can be done. And the difference between then and now is we're actually medically testing these guys to make sure that they're okay. You know, so it's as safe as it could possibly be. Yeah, obviously bummed out. I was bummed out about it, and I don't know. They've been pretty radio silent. I talked to Ed Soares a couple times, and he hadn't really even talked to Anderson.
And your place on John's situation? Have you talked to him?
Who's?
John Jones.
John Jones, I haven't talked to John Jones at all.
And any updates on Ozdemir? Like the situation of the sea?
With who?
Volkan.
He's probably still going to fight. Yeah.
Were you aware of that? Because it was from an incident in August. Did you know about it?
Already? I didn't know about it till it came out recently. Yeah.
Dana, I walked in a few minutes late. You were talking about overing, so apologies if you already mentioned this, but one of my favorite stories you've ever told is of fighters that you beef with in the past is overing. You sat in your lobby for hours. And then eventually, what was it that he said that convinced you that he should be a part of this company? And how close was he to not being a part of the company?
Yeah, I don't, if you look at my battling with fighters, I mean, there's never been a bigger one ever than Tito Ortiz. I mean, me and Tito was true hatred. Like, we hated each other. And Tito still fought here for years, we don't have to be best friends. We don't even have to like each other for you to fight here. But obviously, I gained a lot of respect for Alistair. I didn't want to see him and I didn't want to talk to him, but he wrote it out. And at some point, respect is respect. You have to, I have to respect the fact that he showed up and sat in the lobby, for as long as he did. And I called him up, and we've been great ever since. Me and Verdum do not have a good relationship at all. At all. Yeah, it's just a continued. This is what this guy does. Every he almost fights Tony Ferguson at the media luncheon. There's a laundry list of me and Verdum. And when I was driving here today to meet you guys, Verdum texted me and said, "I want to come out and I want to meet and I want to sit down." And I haven't been willing to meet with him for a while now. And I texted him back and said, "Let's do it." So me and Verdum are going to sit down, try to hug and make up.
What is your reaction when you hear that Verdum throws a boomerang at someone in Australia?
Yeah, just,
do you laugh initially?
No, I don't laugh. It's just that's not funny. Yeah. Believe me, I get it. I get it that Colby disrespected Brazil and all the Brazilian people, and you know, I know how Brazilians get about that stuff. You can't go around assaulting people, you know. You just can't do it. It's just, you know, it's bad.
I did want to ask you about Max Holloway. Did you ever see him coming in terms of, you know, when you first signed him, he looked like a good little fighter and everything.
Right.
Did you see him becoming this, you know, he's number four on your pound for pound list,
yeah,
and seemingly he hasn't lost in 4 years.
Right. No. You know, like I said, you don't know until they get out there and actually do it sometimes. But, you know, if you look at the, you know, this kid has been beating everybody over the last 4 years. He's, he has proven himself to be, you know, one of the best fighters in the world, but for sure.
What do you think is his secret to success when you look at him? Because it's like, he's got decent striking, but, you know, there's guys that hit harder than he does. There's, you know, everybody seems to do something a little better than he does, and yet he is winning, not only winning, but winning, he beat the shit out of Aldo, you know, Pettis, Jeremy, you know, not, he didn't beat the shit out of Jeremy Stephens, but, you know, he's beaten a lot of really good guys in a row. What do you think the secret to his, you know, success is?
You know, he's tall, he's rangy, he's got good takedown defense. If it goes to the ground, he can get back. I mean, he's a well-rounded fighter. And, you know, he's obviously got a great chin. He's just got all the attributes it takes to get in there and beat guys like Jose Aldo and the other, however many, what is he, on a 15, 14 fight win streak? And it's all the best guys in that division.
Yeah. Do you think, given that, you know, Ronda had the success almost right away, but other fighters have built up to it. You know, they have a winning streak, and then all of a sudden they become that big drawing card, you know, more special than others. Do you think Max has that ability to do that at some point? He's, what, 24 or 25, that he might become a drawing card where everybody calls him by the first name and he gets the, you know, the star treatment like Conor and Chuck and Ronda did?
Yeah, you never know. You never know how, you know, like Anderson. Anderson really didn't become huge until he kicked Vitor that night, and that was when he really blew up. You know, we'll see. We got to find that fight for Max. Max has a tough fight this weekend, though. You can get through Jose Aldo once. If you can get through Jose Aldo twice, that's impressive.
How do you see the fight going? What do you think the fight represents to Aldo?
What do I think it'll what to Aldo?
Represent.
Yeah, I. You know, we're going to find out how hungry Jose Aldo is and how bad he wants that belt back. You know, he's getting this opportunity because Frankie fell out. So life's all about jumping on those opportunities. I actually like that Aldo wanted this fight like that. It, you know, it's awesome. So I'm excited. I'm excited for that fight.
You mentioned Frankie.
You know, it's funny. So the Detroit show is on par to sell out, right? We're selling out. The show's going to be a sellout. You know when you're going to sell out because of how many tickets you have left and how many days. We put Jose Aldo on the card. Tickets. Yeah.
He got a title there, right? And he won the title.
Oh, is that where he won it?
Yes.
I didn't even know that.
He was just awarded.
He was the champion awarded. Going in, yeah.
You mentioned Frankie. You know, obviously things are all about timing. This seems like a dangerous spot if Aldo wins.
Mm-hmm.
Does Frankie not get to slide back in there because it's a fight we've seen? I mean, do you feel like Frankie's still the number one contender in waiting?
My question for Frankie, and I haven't talked to Frankie yet. And Frankie's in Russia or somewhere right now, I think. But how do you break your orbital in training? Unless it was a freak knee to the eye in wrestling or something like that. Who's hitting you that hard in your training camp that you break your orbital? That's insane. Anybody know the question? I mean, the answer to that question? No?
I do. Have you spoken to George St. Pierre since the...
No, George St. Pierre, we're talking today. I was on vacation, and George St. Pierre was on vacation for both the same amount of days. Except he got back yesterday. I got back Sunday. And today we're talking.
Do you expect him to go to Perth, maybe, and defend that belt?
I don't even know if Perth is what I want for him yet. So we're going to talk today, and we'll figure it out.
You think there's a chance he vacates that belt and goes to 170? Or, I mean, there's a lot of monsters in that division.
I don't want to hear that. That's not what I want to hear. I want to hear he's going to defend his 85-pound title. That's the agreement we made. That's the deal we made when we made the deal.
Well, he always said that it's in his contract that he has to defend it, but then you always say, I can't make a guy fight either, and I can't make a guy at a weight class or whatever.
There you go. That's your answer.
So you're hoping
you answered all my
quoting the Johns.
Yeah, yeah. So, quote him on that. So Dana, it's exactly right.
I mean, we've kind of been circling this ever since he won the fight. But what happens if he comes and says, "It's too big. They're too big. I can't do it. I don't want to do it."
I'm going to be super pissed, and I don't know where we go from there. Go to 170. Who's better? Who's better to fight at 170? You got Woodley. You got Wonder Boy. You got Romero, and then you got Luke Rockhold. Fucking monsters. They're all monsters. There's no fight that looks like, oh, maybe this is the fight for me to take. It's just, listen, you looked at Bisping like he was a tune-up. You got your tune-up. There's nothing but fucking animals at 85 and 70. So
Don't GSP and Luke Rockhold look like they're different weight classes, like yes. Three different weight classes.
Rockhold is massive.
Right.
Massive. He's massive when he cuts weight. Yeah. There's no good options. You know, to sit there and try to handpick people of where you want to go and everything else, you can't in this fucking sport. They're all nasty. You know? You're a fighter. Get in there and fucking see who you can beat. You wanted to fucking come back, welcome back. It's ugly.
Talk about Woodley. Nate Diaz reportedly turned down a fight with him.
With who?
With Woodley.
Nate Diaz turned down a fight with everybody on the roster. We've been offering him fights for... When's the last time he fought? A year and a half ago? For a year and a half, we've been offering him fights. As a promoter, we have to offer him fights. Because we're supposed to give him 3 fights a year. So we continuously offer him fights, and he continuously turns away.
Why did you turn down that fight?
First of all, let me just say this. So I don't even count that one. Don't even count that he turned down Woodley, okay? Because that was never even... One of our attorneys here started playing matchmaker and said that he has a good rapport with the Diaz brothers, and he basically said, well, what if you could fight Tyron Woodley? And me or Sean were like, how does he deserve to fight Tyron Woodley? There's a fucking list of guys that are waiting to fight Tyron Woodley, and this dude's going to fight? What are you talking about? So he kind of went off the reservation a little bit and started playing matchmaker. Then that's why you started hearing Woodley saying, I got offered a fight with Nate Diaz. And then we're like, no, there was never a fight. That's the deal. So there really was never an offer for Woodley versus Diaz. It's not true.
Not officially.
Not officially. It was never offered. One of our lawyers was like, hey, would you fight? Because we're always offering the Diaz brothers a fight. So he says, well, what about Woodley? Would you fight Woodley? And then he says to Woodley, would you fight Nate Diaz? First of all, Woodley's been talking about, I need shoulder surgery. What about, I'll fight Nate Diaz, and then starts calling him out and shit. You know, it was a nightmare. None of that was true. That was just the guy who works here that went off the reservation and asked those guys a question.
Do you think Diaz will fight again?
I don't know. I don't think Nick will.
Dana, what fights has he turned down? If that one's not so official,
it's a year and a half. I mean, we have to give him 3 fights a year. So we've literally been offering fights. And then when they say no, you send them a contract extension.
Why do you say you don't think Nick will fight again?
I don't know. I just don't think Nick wants to fight. Listen, only Nick and Nate know exactly what they want to do, I think. But I don't know. I just don't see it, you know? Nick Diaz used to be a fucking beast. You know what I mean? When Nick Diaz was in his prime, Nick was, you know, Nick would go out and fight anybody. And Nick was fun. Nate too. Nate too. They're both fun to watch. And, you know, they have such a huge, like, cult following, man, because they're interesting guys. And, you know, they're fun to watch fight.
What do you think Nate is doing? Just... Waiting for Connor or waiting for... What do you think? What do you make of it?
Again, money. Money changes everything, you know. Ever since Nick fought GSP, you know, he made big money. He's just cruising around doing his thing. And obviously, the 2 fights with Connor McGregor, Nate Diaz made very, very good money. That kid doesn't ever have to fight again. Unless he's blowing shitloads of crazy money or didn't pay his taxes and get sideways with the IRS or any crazy shit like that happens, that kid never has to fight again a day in his life.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. We are telling a story about the relationship between the NBA and the UFC, and they asked me to see just if you could talk about it in 2015. I think one of the teams went to the UFC to train there. Just to talk a little bit about.
Well, all the other athletic, you know, sports teams, whether it's the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, you know, they're all coming through the Performance Institute. They were over at the Tough Gym training and stuff. You know, they liked, you know, the NBA's here every summer for Summer League. And they do these team building, you know, things where they like to come over because everybody loves to fight or at least goof around and you know, pretend you're fighting. And, you know, we do all kinds of stuff with them. You know, I'm a huge NFL fan and a huge NBA fan. So I go to, you know, as many games as I can go to each year. So we love having a relationship. And our hockey team, how about that shit? Is that crazy?
I love it.
It's insane. It's just they come in first season ever and are killing it. It's just, it's incredible.
Can I ask you one last question about, and this is just a lighthearted question, but Kevin Bieksa, have you ever heard of him from Anaheim Ducks?
Mm-mm.
He is a goon on the Ducks.
Okay.
And
I've seen stuff about him on the internet.
So he's doing the GSP Superman punch, and now he's had two games in a row where he's had fights where he's knocked the guy out with one punch.
I posted a video of that guy doing the Superman punch,
and,
yeah.
I did. What does that say to you? That I remember when we were in Vancouver, and I was sitting next to you, and a reporter from Vancouver said, do you think one day you'll ever be as big as the NHL? And you started laughing. And now it's like you have NHL players doing UFC fights in games.
Yeah. If you look at not only that, just, you know, in pop culture, just how, you know, in videos where they used to have stuff about boxing, it's MMA now, and on TV shows, it's MMA instead of boxing. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's actually pretty cool when you look at how much we've changed, you know, pop culture in the last 15 years.
Dang, just one last thing for me real quick, too.
And remember after Connor walked into the octagon and was doing this shit, all the NFL players were doing it, and fuck, you remember that?
One last thing for me. In Korea, there was kind of a story where a fighter was sentenced to jail for potential match fixing when you guys were over there. So I'm curious, first, if you have any concerns about that, you know, integrity of fights around the world. And second, you know, the Korean market was a pretty good market for you guys. And is it concerning at all to go back there that this all unfolded?
No, we're excited to go back there. They're opening a new arena over there. And when they do, we're going straight over there as soon as that thing's ready to go. But we caught wind of that thing. You know, there was talk about it. So Joe and Sean called him. And he said, no, it's not. I would never, blah, blah, blah. And he didn't do it. But he still went to jail. And, you know, as you can see with USADA and the drug testing and everything else, guys don't fucking learn lessons. But hopefully you learn that one. You get caught doing that shit. And he didn't even do it. He didn't do it. He took the money, but didn't fix the fight. And he got 10 months in jail. So, listen, you get suspended for a year for drugs, or you get suspended for 2 years, you go to fucking jail for doing this shit. So, hopefully that's a lesson learned for everybody.
How much of a concern is that? I mean,
it's not.
If you guys hadn't have caught wind and seen the odds changing.
Yeah. But you do. I mean, this thing is you know, a major sport now that you can actually bet on. And those guys know that shit. Those guys know when that line starts moving around, people know what's going on. So it's very, very hard to do. Plus, if you look at the limits that you're allowed to bet, at the end of the day, what you're actually allowed to bet isn't worth going to jail for 10 months, you know? Or if you're the bad guy trying to get this kid to throw the fight, there's just not enough money in it.
Well, here you can't bet that much, but no, online you can bet a lot.
How much? But what's a lot?
I mean,
what's worth going to jail for 10 months?
Well, I'm not saying it's worth going to jail, but you can bet a lot.
But you have to look at risk versus reward. If I'm gonna try to throw a fight, you got to set me up for life, because I'm gonna get banned from my sport. I'm gonna go to jail for, you know, God knows how long. That he got 10 months and he didn't do it. What would he have got if he did it? Right?
But you're a smart person.
Yeah. That's, unfortunately, we deal with a lot of stupid people, but I don't know if you're that stupid that you're willing to you know, not get enough money to set yourself up for life. You know, listen, if I could bet $25 million on the fight, right, maybe I'll take 10 months in jail. You gotta look at risk versus reward, and it's just not there in this sport for betting. It's not there for any sport.
Did you ever worry about
the Shanghai fight as well?
Huh?
There was a big movement on one of the fights at Shanghai, the Mazzani fight.
Mm-hmm.
She still went out and dominated.
Yeah. Yeah, weird things are going to happen, but, you know, I guarantee if there was the big movement on that fight and she lost, there'd probably be a lot of people talking about it, you know?
Last question, guys.
Dan, any interest in Ben Askren versus George St. Pierre?
Is that guy still around?
He retired last week.
Huh?
Retired undefeated. Retired last weekend.
He retired?
Undefeated, but he said he'd come back to fight George St. Pierre. Mm.
He's such a huge star, I'll probably think about it.
Can I ask one more?
You guys know him. That's it.
One last question about George's situation. What was behind that clause in his contract? Who came up with that? What was the story behind
me
needing that?
Me. Because he was jumping all over the map. 70, 85, and this and that. I said, I'll tell you what. You want to come in and take this shot against Bisping, I'm cool with that. But you got to defend the title. Mm-hmm. You can't drop the title after the fight and then go somewhere else.
Just because of what it does to the integrity.
Nah, just itself. My thing is, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And when a man just goes away, you know, listen, if a guy is, you know, on a run and undefeated and wants to retire, that's one thing. The guy retires the belt. But it's another thing. Well, I'm going to drop this one and jump to 170 now. That's, I don't like it.
So is it actually language in a contract, or is it just a handshake?
No, it's language in the contract.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's in the contract.
Any last questions?
Then they're trying to spin this whole, and it came from their camp, the Conor thing. There's never been one discussion ever about GSP versus Conor, ever. So that's all internet shit that I'm assuming got started on that side.
If they both wanted it, why would you not want that?
Every fight with Conor is a big money fight, and Tony Ferguson's next in line. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, how much bigger is GSP versus Conor than Conor versus anybody? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. GSP versus Conor would be a good fight, and then you got Conor versus Ferguson, and then you got GSP versus Whitaker, or you know whatever. Those are both good fights.
Conor versus GSP, don't you think it'd be like a $3 million pay-per-view?
I don't know. Do you? I don't think it's a $3 million pay-per-view. You do? I disagree. I think it does around the range of numbers that Conor does. I mean, Nate Diaz, if you look at Nate Diaz versus Conor, is the biggest event we've ever done, other than Mayweather.
Didn't you say this for last week? Didn't it surpass it, GSP and Bisping? Didn't you say that?
No.
Maybe I misunderstood.
No, they did 1.6 million, 1.65.
No, I know that,
like
yeah.
That.
But
no,
what did you say about you?
I said it did better than what we budgeted for.
Oh.
It beat the budget.
I misunderstood you.
Yeah, it beat the budget. Killed the budget.
Was it the return of the
It didn't kill the budget that much.
Or was it like, does Joanna also carry weight in that and the other title fight? That had so much heat with Dillashaw and Garbrandt.
Absolutely. 100%. Absolutely. The card was ridiculous. We're back at MSG, you know. Yes. All of that factors into that. And
I think most people think GSP carried all that, and that's why when Kevin says 3 million pay-per-views, it doesn't seem that crazy just because everything Conor keeps doing keeps multiplying, and not to the GSP in the mix.
And the thing is that makes it, that puts it over the top too, is the Canada numbers. You know, the Canada numbers go like this when GSP fights. That's what GSP definitely delivers on. Canada. So at the time, we held the record in Canada for the biggest pay-per-view ever, right? Then Conor versus Mayweather beat it. Then GSP versus Bisping beat that. We're like the top fucking, we might be the top 10 biggest pay-per-views ever in Canada, you know? But yeah, that's where the GSP makes a big difference, is when those Canadian numbers come in.
Will Joanna get the rematch against Rose?
I don't know yet. It makes sense that's the fight to make, and it's a good fight. It's a good fight for Rose, and it's a good fight for Joanna, so
Has Rosen said what she wants to fight?
Mm-mm. We haven't even talked to her about it. I'm letting her put a full page ad in the Denver newspaper for her and doing some stuff out in Denver and letting her just enjoy her, you know, such a huge upset and big win and big moment in her life, and let her bask in it. And plus, I think you got her out working too, right?
Yeah, we're doing big tours with her in Denver and New York and LA.
Is she one that you see has star quality?
You want her?
Rose?
Oh, definitely. From day one, from the first day I ever met her. Yeah.
What do your matchmakers or scouts, if you have any, tell you outside of these young ladies what 25 is going to be like going forward? Because 115 pounds has a lot of great fighters that weren't even featured on the show. Do you anticipate the same kind of haul for 25?
Yeah, I do. I think so. Like I said, the thing that was weird about doing, I thought everybody was going to jump ship 35 and 15 and start going to 25, but that really hasn't happened. Only a couple did. So I don't know. We'll see.
CM Punk going to fight again in the UFC?
Who?
CM Punk.
CM Punk is coming this weekend and wants to talk to me. He'll be in Detroit.
Open to it?
Yeah, well, I love the guy. He's a good guy. So we'll see what he's thinking and what he's doing. And I don't know. He makes a lot of money. Jacare and who?
Brunson.
Who?
Derek Brunson.
Oh, Brunson.
Sorry. Derek.
Yes.
Is that the main fight for the
I don't know off the top of my head. But yeah, that fight's happening.
Do you know if he's losing somewhere else?
I don't know. Awesome. Everybody good?
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for coming.
Appreciate
good
it.
To see you guys.
Thank you.
I missed you guys, man.
Do another one next week?
Thank you, say. No more.